Welcome to a WASD recap conference call here. The excitement in the markets even before we got to the report, and corn was no stranger to volatility. The USDA, looking at the WASD, they didn't make an acknowledgement ahead of time that with the recent Ukraine situation that the with their initial assessment, and they say they are going to study it further. They've made some changes, obviously to their balance sheet. They didn't make any changes to the supply side of things for the U.S., but they did change demand. We did see ending stocks in the U.S. come in at 1.44 billion bushels. Versus an expectation of 1.47. That's down from 1.54 in February. The 100 million bushels, came from 75 million bushels in raised exports, obviously, because of the Ukraine situation. And then another 25 million bushels from ethanol. And ethanol, speaking of ethanol, the margins have returned positive here again. So, production was up for the week, and, barring some situation here with the energy markets, looks like margins are positive here for Q2. So we expect a continuation of what we've seen from the ethanol side of the demand picture. Globally, they did take the carryout down from 302.22 million metric tons down to 300.97. Production changes were the only real production change was in Argentina. They went from 54 million tons down to 53. We think the market is probably trading, something closer to 50, 51 for an Argentine corn crop. It was kind of surprising they didn't make any changes to Brazil. Some think that once CONAB comes out with their numbers tomorrow, that'll give a better indication of where this Brazil corn crop is. The other big thing today, and I, kind of getting away from the WASD a little bit, was obviously the energy market. To see the biggest one day drop in Brent crude oil futures, and to see heating oil, diesel basically off of a dollar a gallon, and we're just seeing some very, very volatile markets. And I guess the one thing I just wanted to add is, we need to really try to keep focus on where our hedges are and where we have things. And as far as I kind of wanted to just say something quick about spreads. I mean, I think today was an opportunity. You had the May July come in down to 24.75. That's as low as we've seen here in about the past week or so. This may be an opportunity from an end user standpoint, if you've got more bushels to price, to be owning that spread. And if you've got some stuff that needs to get over, to probably be getting your futures over to further out along the curve. So, Rocky, how about the soybeans?
Not big changes in the soybeans, really. They gave us a world carryout of 89.96, so basically 90. Trade was expecting on average 89.46, so this was down about just shy of 3 million tons from the February report. How did they get there? Well, they dropped Brazil bean production to 127. The average guess was 129. They were at 134 in February. The 127, I mean, CONAB's out tomorrow, and I don't know. There's some estimates in Brazil as low as 122. So, let's see. In Argentina, they dropped production a million and a half tons of 43.5. That's pretty close to the average guess. So, I think the interesting thing is they did drop exports 5 million tons in Brazil and 2.8 million tons in Argentina. And they continued the trend with China bean imports, so dropping at 3 million tons down to 94. Potential here, quite honestly, is for that to drop another million or 2 million tons as we go forward. As we roll into the U.S., 285 carryout. The average trade guess was 278, but 285 down 40 from the February estimate of 325. And basically, 40 million more exports. And we've all seen it in the cash market. The U.S. is competitive in the last week or so. Shoot, alone, we've probably done 5 to 8 P&W and probably 10 to 15 Gulf cargoes. So those bean exports are probably not done going up. Gov gave us a, 6.4% stocks to use. And by the way, since 2001, there's been 9 years with smaller stocks to use. So they might have been thinking about this a little bit, that exports are going up, because they did increase average farm price by 25 cents. But I suspect our carryout's getting a little smaller there on the old beans. I think that's all I got. So Wayne, you're up on wheat.
Thank you, Rocky. To do the easy stuff first, they made some minor changes to the U.S. balance sheet in wheat. They lowered exports of hard red wheat 5 and same quantity in soft red wheat. And they lowered the imports of hard red wheat, which would be coming from Canada, from 577 to 572. So that went down 5. So there was only a 5 million ton increase in ending stocks to 653, which is almost impossible to measure at this time of the year, but that's what we know about that. The FAS report that Brent mentioned and Rocky also did too, that came out about midday today, did make some changes to the exports of both corn and wheat. Brent mentioned the corn changes. 3 weeks ago, I put out an estimate of what I thought corn was going to be like given what was happening, and that hasn't changed. I'm more pessimistic about the export potential from those two places than the FAS story, and definitely the same in wheat. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because my report tomorrow does a deep dive into the impact on losing some wheat crops and or exports from either of the two or both of the two countries in the Black Sea. And what I did is offer a proxy for what if the Ukrainian wheat crop, which was going to be 29 million tons, what would that look like if that much were lost? Have there ever been any other instances of losses those big? The quick answer is no, but there were some very big ones in Russia. And if we use that as a proxy for what could happen in Ukraine, we can try to look at what that meant for Kansas City prices. So sometime tomorrow, probably in the afternoon, I'll have that study out. And I think my conclusion is that losing 19 or 20 million tons of crops has been recoverable in the past in a couple of instances. But losing 30 probably would be something much harder to do. But I'll leave it at that and go on to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is that there has been talk this week about 20% of the winter wheat crop in China being the worst conditions ever in early March. And they don't publish those data as far as I know. I've never tried to find any and track them. But if you think that the crop was going to be 138 to 40 million tons, which would be up from the crop a year ago, then 20% of that is 28, let's call it 28 million tons. And if you, let's say you had yields that were 10 or 15% below trend, then you would be losing 5 to 6 million tons of that potential 140 million tons. If you look at all the changes in production for the last since 2000, the largest one ever going up or down was a gain of 5 million tons, and the biggest loss was 3 million tons. So it's very unusual to have big losses in the wheat crop. I'm not saying it can't happen. They're probably doing some production of wheat in areas that that 20 years ago weren't being planted to wheat and may not be as amenable to correcting themselves when you have a bad start to the crop. But I just say that we've all seen plenty of times when Kansas wheat looked really ragged in early March. But if you started getting April and May rains and reasonable temperatures, you might not get a trend yield, but you certainly could be getting close to one if you've got really good April, May rains and otherwise, and no unusually warm or cold temperatures. So I don't want to get too excited about that one, but the biggest issue that they're facing is they doubled the feed wheat usage a year ago from 17 million tons or 19 million tons, excuse me, to 40. They did more than doubled it. And this year, this 22-23 year, they're saying they're going to use only 35 for wheat. Well, if you lost 3 or 4 million tons of production, and you were afraid of people getting concerned that the stocks of wheat are dropping sharply, what it means is that you're going to try to not feed as much wheat and import other things. And that other thing probably is corn, given the clean outs they've done of all other barley and sorghum. I don't think there's a whole lot left for them to buy anywhere. Although I guess there could be some sorghum out of Australia. But the point is that if there's a 5 or 6 million ton loss of wheat production that they can measure anytime soon or feel like they can measure, it could mean more corn imports. So I'll have more to say about that in my report too. But the price of wheat that we saw when prices got up to over $13 recently definitely were too high given the history of what we know about crops being lost. And that's what this study that I'm going to show tomorrow concludes. And the best values of Kansas City wheat probably are below $12, but we won't know that until we know more about what happens with Russian exports. And the last thing I'll say is that USDA has been assuming that Russian exports will be 35 million tons this year. And there is absolutely, and they lowered those to 32 in this crop year. Based on what people in Russia have been saying for now 6 weeks, they'll be lucky to export 27 and a half. So we're not done with getting FAS to recognize what the reality is on the ground in Russia anyway. And I happen to agree with the USDA that they lowered the loss of, or they lowered Ukraine exports to 4 from 8 left in the country, left in the marketing year. And that's been my view also. So I think they're closer to reality in Ukraine, kudos, but they still have a lot to think about and see about what's happening in Russia. And they're with the export-import law that Putin signed yesterday, they are making lists of everything they don't want to export or import. And they will find a way to stop those from happening, given what's happening with their financial system. So I think that the odds that 32 is correct are almost zero, and they probably will be below 28. So that's all I've got to say today, guys, and have a good evening.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Rocky.